Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Andy, how are you doing? You staying cool in this heat wave?
Great, Jimmy. Love the, you know me, love the heat. Can't be hot enough. Can't be humid enough. The hotter, the more humid, the happier I am. I know I'm an outlier. People love their seasons and their changes. I swear I could live in Barbados year round and just give me sun, sand, hot, and humidity, and I'm as happy as a pig in mud.
Actually, I am kind of with you, Andy, but I frame it this way. We spend all those months over the winter complaining about the cold.
If I have a
choice between 95 degrees and 15 degrees, I will take 95 degrees all the time. So I can deal with it. I even go so far as to say, you can't complain about both. Take your pick.
Good call. Good call. Are you complain a heat miser cold, or yeah. snow miser? I'm a heat miser.
All right. Well, we both are surviving as we both sit in our air-conditioned houses. Andy, for today, I wanted to talk about something that a little bit different. We haven't, I think, paid enough attention to, and I don't think anyone really in the media has with college football. The issue is how these conferences have changed. They're all so different. But there's so much going on in college football,
right?
With the NIL, the lawsuits, things changing. Are the schools going to start paying players directly? NIL transfer portal. Now, those are all huge stories.
Correct.
But I think one of the things that we've forgotten, Andy, is plain and simple, what we're going to see on the field this season is going to be very different because of these teams moving around.
The competition part of this, Jimmy, as I like to call it, the non-football playing season and the football playing season, right? We're working our way slowly towards the football playing season. And you've talked about a couple of big stories, but the football playing season is going to look massively, massively different, Jimmy, on many, many fronts and across the board. And I think for me, it starts with, okay, there's no longer five power conferences. There's four power conferences. And how does that shake out? We're going to get into some of that. But the bottom line is, as college football fans, for the on-field product, you're going to get more of a better product just out of, you know, cause week after week after week. Instead of having to target the big games, bigger games are just going to come by natural cause, Jimmy. Because the field is cramped now. They're in a tighter space. You know, they went from living in the suburbs of Buffalo to living in New York City, right? College football is now a crowded house in terms of the conferences. They're bigger. They're 16 teams and 18 teams and this schedule and that schedule, which we're going to talk about all that stuff. But for me, it means that the competition over the 12 weeks of the regular season will look a lot different in terms of marquee matchups, potentially great games, and the haves and the have-nots. There used to be a bigger gap, and I think some of that gap might close in some of the conferences.
I think it will too, Andy. And you hit on the one point that there's no longer a Power 5. It's a Power 4. Some folks might say there's a Power 2. But
right.
let's still call it a Power 4. And when you play, let's start with our home conference, the Big Ten. And there would be people who would argue it's a Big Two with Ohio State and Michigan. We Penn State fans would like to put Penn State in there also, call it a Big Three. And the marquee games are when Ohio State plays Michigan, or they play Penn State, or Penn State plays Michigan, That's it. Those were the marquee games. I know that doesn't make, you know, Wisconsin happy or Iowa happy or Nebraska happy to hear that. But as far as a national draw, those were the three teams that people wanted to see, correct?
Jimmy, the Big Ten, let's just say for the previous, I don't know, the college football playoff area. Let's even go there, right? In the college football playoff area, it's been about basically two teams. It's been about Michigan and Ohio State. Penn State was a distant third. If you break it down even further, the Big Ten was really about one division inside of the conference, the Big Ten East. That was it. The Big Ten West wasn't a relevant part of the conversation until you had to look at and figure out which one of the, generally speaking, the dog with fleas, football-wise, was it Northwestern? Was it going to be Wisconsin? Would it be Iowa? Which one of them was going to have to play the big dog that came out of the, you know, the alpha dog pen in the Big Ten championship? But other than that, the Big Ten conference was last game of the regular season, noon, Michigan and Ohio State. Penn State was a distant third in there, but they were a relative third. They were part of the Big Ten East, so they were part of the three-team mix. That's all the Big Ten was, Jimmy. It was one division inside the conference. With 18 teams, it's clearly deeper, it's better, and it's going to be vastly different in so many ways. It still might be about Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State a little bit, but it's definitely not just about Ohio State, Michigan, and maybe Penn State a little bit.
Well, if you're talking marquee teams, which I think you have to when you talk about the interest in conferences, Michigan and Ohio State define the Big Ten. If we want to put Penn State in there, okay, fine. Now, all of a sudden, as far as national recognition, when you add USC and Oregon, and if we had Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, I said USC and Oregon, they belong in that mix, in that upper tier, correct?
I think Oregon's going to prove it. Oregon, I think USC is the bigger brand and the bigger name. We both know that, right? Everyone in college football knows it. Football-wise, and we're talking football today, Oregon's a football beast, Jimmy. They're gonna be part. They are a respectable national brand. I don't think they bring as much to the college football brand table as Penn State does, to be honest with you. But football-wise, Oregon's gonna be a monster of the Midway, if you want to say. You know, talking about the Big Ten and the Midwest roots. I think Oregon's going to have a huge – and USC is the brand that everybody is excited to have as part of the Big Ten. Southern California, L.A., all of that stuff. That is a huge, huge part of, you know, what is going on in the Big Ten to add L.A. to the market and USC. But football-wise, it's Oregon this year, Jimmy. I think USC is an outlier on the football front.
Yeah, okay, you're right, Oregon this year, but in the long run, USC, if they're not going to become nationally relevant with Lincoln Riley, they will become nationally relevant with somebody else soon enough.
They will try.
You're right, they will. They will, but they are that national brand. So all of a sudden, Andy, you have a situation where as far as a national audience goes, and I know the Big Ten has a lot of interest, the television contract proves it, and the eyeballs, but if you didn't have a game among Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, the national interest was limited. And as you pointed out, the championship game was one of those three teams against the Sisters of the Poor. So in the championship game. Well, that goes away also because divisions go away.
Yep.
So now you not only have, whenever you have a competition between two of those three teams that we keep mentioning, you also now throw USC into the mix. You throw Oregon into the mix. And Washington may not be too far behind. They may be still, as a brand right now, better than anyone from the old Big Ten West, Andy?
I mean, they're in a weird transitional phase with so much loss of talent and the loss of their coach, right? It's a double whammy. How are they going to recover from that? But on its merits, they are better. They bring more to the table than anybody in the Big Ten West did. Yeah. And when you're talking about this, if we were talking about the Big Ten as it was previously constructed, we would still be talking about the same three teams, Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. Now you're going to talk about USC. Now we're talking about Oregon. Now we're talking about what does Washington bring to the table? Is there anybody from the old Big Ten West that can make itself relative in this new playing field? That's a big mountain to climb because there's a lot of, you know, heavy hitters above them. Are they capable of doing that, or are they exactly what they've been for the, you know, the entire college football playoff era? So much intrigue in the Big Ten. Bottom line for me, clearly deeper and clearly better under the realignment, mostly because the Big Ten East is gone, and the Big Ten West, thank goodness, is now gone too. Your championship game is going to be two teams based on wins, winning percentage, and tiebreakers. That's it. Go play.
And Andy, though, another part of this equation, though, is we mentioned there's now 18 teams in the Big Ten.
Yes, sir.
Fortunately, they still have a 9-game schedule, not 8 like the Southeast Conference. But at 9 games, you're playing only half the teams. So the other equation, I know we don't have a lot of time left in quarter one, so I'll carry it over into quarter two, Andy, is the luck of the draw or the luck of how they design the schedule could determine a lot of, you mentioned, you know, the two best teams playing in the conference championship game. That may or may not be the case because of how the schedule falls.
It could, but we just spent some time, Jimmy, talking about the depth of the Big Ten, right? I find it hard to see anybody coming, even, you know, despite, you know, some schools getting a little bit scheduled to break, and the year-to-year matters. I find it hard to see somebody other than Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Oregon, or USC playing in a combination of those two from those five teams. It would take something very unique to happen this season for that to take place.
Andy, when we come back, I'm going to explain to you how that something unique could happen when we get back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at Bobby Ray Hall Honda of StateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking about the realignment of the conferences. When we're talking first about the Big Ten. We'll hit the other conferences, Andy, but kind of wrapping up the conversation in quarter number one, there was no doubt in my mind the conference championship game, which will now be against between the two best teams or the two teams with the best records, because divisions go away. And you said, well, I'd find it hard to imagine anyone outside the top couple teams.
Right.
Let's do it this way. I think right now, going into this season, there's a big four, which is Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State. USC may or may not get in there. But
right. I agree with you.
Whether you play those teams or not, how that falls. For example, Ohio State has to play all three of the other four elite teams.
Right.
They have Oregon, Michigan, and Penn State on their schedule. If they go through the season undefeated or with one loss, they earn their way in there. But, for example, Iowa.
I know.
They only get one of those teams, Ohio State.
I know.
And let's call that a loss for Iowa, but, and I don't think this will happen, Andy, but if Iowa could be the cream of the poor crop, meaning they beat what's on their schedule, they could finish the conference schedule 8-1 and be in that conference championship game.
Yeah, I am well aware of the Iowa Hawkeyes. They don't even play USC either, Jimmy.
So, you know, if they can beat the, you know, the Wisconsins and Nebraskas and Minnesotas, the old, you know, Big Ten West,
yep,
they could end up 8-1 and conceivably sneak into a conference championship game or even make it into the collegiate playoffs, Andy.
They are problematic. They are trying to build a new offense. They're trying to fix what was massively broken, and they don't have the high octane test. So that they are the biggest outlier, Jimmy. They're the one off. I think you're correct. They're the one off.
Yeah, and Andy, you know, I'm not looking to calculate how good or bad Iowa is, but just using that as an example.
Yeah, now I'm with you.
You go even a little more extreme. Rutgers doesn't play any of the big four. And, you know, I'm not predicting Rutgers to be in the conference championship game, but I'm just explaining how different teams' results could be based on that schedule. And, oh, by the way, Andy, Penn State only plays one of those three other teams. You know, they play Ohio State. They don't get Oregon or Michigan.
You know, I look at Rutgers and I'm like, well, they have to play road games at Nebraska and USC. That's okay. There's a competition level there. The one team, as I looked across the Big Ten, as we were getting ready to talk about this today, and for no other reason, objectively, I'm like, man, oh man, oh man, does Penn State have a schedule that looks advantageous, favorable? As you explained, sort of, they play Ohio State, right? And they play USC, but man, is that favorite? Who's another team that you would look at besides Iowa that, if they overperform, could end up 8-1 in the conference? It's Penn State. They're the second most viable team outside of Iowa, and that pains me to say that because I'm just like, God, please, no more Iowa. But I think it's Penn State, Jimmy. I think Penn State overperforming. I think they have the second greatest opportunity in the conference the way the schedule's set up for 2024 in this new look Big Ten.
Well, the fact is, you know, you use the term overperforming, but they're going to be favorites in 11 out of 12 games.
You think they're a favorite on the road against USC?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
And not by a lot.
No.
We as Penn Staters know that, you know, traveling coast to coast, it's an issue. But that they are in a position, and again, the point of today's show is not, you know, to break down Iowa or break down Penn State, but to say, here are the ramifications of these changes, and I'm not sure we've looked at them enough. And, you know, that's the Big Ten, and obviously, Andy, as the weeks go by, we're going to look closer and closer at the quality of teams and look closer at the schedules in that way. But, you know, let's take a look at the Southeast Conference, okay, the other big boy, and they have the internally the advantage, but as fans looking in, the disadvantage of only playing 8 conference games. But they brought in 2 more big boys in Oklahoma and Texas. So now you add them to Alabama and Georgia, Ole Miss and Missouri, who seem to make that jump, not to mention Tennessee and LSU. There's a bunch of really good teams there. Even if you're only playing half the teams, you're probably going to have some big games on your schedule, and that's different for the Southeast Conference.
That's different for the Southeast Conference in that they only added two big dogs. The Southeast Conference didn't change that much, Jimmy. They were already sort of the strongest at the top end, stronger than most through the middle, and not quite as weak on the bottom end as you would expect, right? That was the SEC. All Texas and Oklahoma did was change the, you know, top to middle part of it just a little bit, in my opinion. I don't think the SEC has become a different conference in the way I think the Big Ten has become a different conference. I think the SEC only sort of added to its pool of maybe self-induced misery, maybe not self-induced misery, because it's going to come down to what the SEC is interested in is how many teams can they get to the next level when it comes to college football playoffs. And that is why they have the 8-game schedule. That 8-game schedule, though, you're only going to play half, but it's going to be brutal because their top end is really high and their middle is higher than most.
Andy, I think I disagree a little bit in that the change, they went from, I'll call it 6 good teams, and that at the high end, you know, like a Florida kind of dropped out of that high end.
Absolutely. Middle,
but
low ender.
You had Ole Miss and Missouri kind of pick it up.
Yes.
And replay. So let's say there were 6 good teams. You add in Texas and Oklahoma. Now you're going from 6 to 8 teams. And yes, you still have to, you know, the SEC spent years protecting their teams. I mean, when was the last time Alabama and Georgia played each other in the regular season?
Right.
They didn't. They didn't, which is ridiculous.
Right.
But ironically, they are playing each other this year. But this goes again to my point about the differentiation. Oklahoma and Texas, both coming in from outside, comparable programs, although Texas right now is on the upswing. Oklahoma may be down just a tad.
Right.
But here's the difference. Just looking at those two teams, where I named what I consider the 6 elite teams remaining in the Southeast Conference. Oklahoma plays Tennessee, Texas, Ole Miss, Missouri, Alabama, LSU. They play like all 6 of those teams, Andy. Texas, you know how many they get? 2.
Hook 'em horns, baby. They get 2.
So Oklahoma could be, you know, a top 20 team and still have 6 losses.
They could. I think Texas, football-wise, Texas is the one that jumps into the elite status, right? Coming off a college football playoff appearance. They've got the recruiting in. So I still think everyone's going to look at them as moving into maybe the, you know, top end of the middle or the lower end of the elite in the SEC. I know they only have two opponents, but they're going to be asked to be better on a weekly basis. And I think one of the things that Texas as a football program sort of showed a little bit last year, but also showed the sort of, you know, wrong side of the spur, I guess you could say, was they were probably the most inconsistent of the college football playoff teams week to week last year. The SEC is going to demand consistency because, like we said earlier, Jimmy, we both agree, even at the, you know, middle, lower middle to bottom level of the SEC, they're going to demand more of you than any other conference, right? They're going to demand, okay, you look at the top end and who they play. They might only have two games, but they're going to demand more. The SEC is going to demand more of Texas on a weekly level than Texas is used to. And Oklahoma's going to get it by cause. Here's six hammers. Good luck, Sooners. Enjoy your first year.
Yeah, that's, I guess, you know, the 2 points, Andy. First, you know, my point of this whole program is how different these conferences are, specifically the Big Ten and Southeast conferences, by adding such good programs that the schedules are going to be tougher automatically. And that is the case. But my second point is because you play so few games relative to the number of teams in your conference, that it could, that point one could vary wildly. And using Texas and Oklahoma as, you know, exhibit A and B, Oklahoma, as you said, they're going to get hammered. Texas, yeah, they're no longer playing, you know, Oklahoma State and Kansas State and Baylor, but they're not all of a sudden playing, you know, all these elite teams like Oklahoma is. So how the schedule drops, Andy, also will have a huge effect.
It will have a huge effect. And the other thing, I mean, when you look at this big picture for me is the SEC. The SEC always was looking at a 14 college football playoff, and their depth was always part of what carried them into that and sometimes got them two of the four teams. How much are they going to get out of this in a 12 team? Is their depth going to hurt them or is their depth going to help them? That is what we're going to learn in the first year more than anything about the SEC, is how their depth helps or hurts in a 12-team college football playoff scenario.
On the surface, you'd think it would hurt because they're going to have more losses, but they're still protecting themselves with that 8-game schedule. All right, yes, Andy, coming up next quarter, it's time to Ask Andy. We'll do that right after this break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at Bobby Ray Hall Honda of statecollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter number three. We all know what that means. It's time to take your questions and we ask Andy. Andy, are you ready for the questions?
We are rolling and fired up this week, Jimmy, because we're not talking about NIL or transfer portal and all the other big stories. We're talking football. So I'm looking for listeners to bring some thunder in this segment. Let's go.
Well, Andy, let's put it this way. They're ready to scold us, okay? Ooh. We've got multiple scolds going on here. Okay. Let's start with Tony in Philadelphia, who starts with, Jim, when did you and Andy get so weak that you don't think that the whiteout game on the last week of the season is a good idea? The lame excuse the students will be away from campus doesn't wash away if the students were from Ohio State and Michigan can make it back to campus for their game. So can the Penn State students for a game which may determine if Penn State gets in the playoff? If you recall, Tony was the one who suggested the whiteout be the last game of the year, and I think you and I were both. Look, Penn State, Michigan State, Penn State, Maryland is not the same as Michigan, Ohio State. So let's continue with Tony, who has plenty to say. He says, you guys are just wrong. Similar to my last question to Andy, asking which running back you would want running a fourth and two play, you both gave the knee-jerk reaction of Saquon Barkley, but my memory of Saquon, as good as he was that he often failed on the short yardage run, oftentimes losing yardage. Yep. For my money, in that situation, I'd take Tony Hunt or Evan Royster, two guys who got the short yardage almost every time. Clearly not as explosive as Saquon, but more dependable. And lastly, Tony says, I just enjoyed a mushroom pizza. And for those who need clarification, this is an ongoing discussion for years on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Pizza, meat belongs on pizza.
Not a veggie.
And Tony keeps arguing with us that mushroom. But let's get to the Saquon Barkley question. Yeah. Andy, I think some of the short yardage situations with Saquon was based on the offensive line and the style of offense where they had him running short yardage from that merge point where he was at a dead standstill and they wouldn't let him get any momentum going to the line of scrimmage.
So Tony in Philadelphia has caused me to, as he chided us for our knee-jerk, what he expected reaction, and he gave a couple of his. So Jimmy, thank you. You gave me a minute to delve into my thoughts. I got a name for you. I'm going to go a little deeper.
Wait, hold on. Before you give it, I had an exchange with Tony on email, and I came up with a name myself, but right, you go ahead. Give me yours, and I could confirm whether it's the same one that I had.
Larry Johnson Jr.
That is it, Andy.
That's it? Really?
That's the name I went back to. I went back with. I think if you're going to go back to, you know, Tony Hunt or Evan Royster, boy, yeah. Larry Johnson was a big man.
He was a thumper who had some skills in the open field and some ability to make guys miss and be a more complete running back. But, man, give him – 2.5, 3 yards to get and just line him up in the eye and just hand him the ball. He's going to get, yeah, that's my deeper. So I hope we did better for you, Tony.
All right. Let's move on. And Tony, yes, you could have your mushroom pizza, Tony. Okay. Let's continue to get scolded. Our old friend, Brad from Perkasy. Shame on you, Jim and Andy. You never answered my question last week. Brad, we can't answer your question every week. There's other folks. But he said, so I'm asking it again. Which game do you consider big games this year? Name the teams they play. And here's where he gets a little drills down. How many points per game do we need to average in them? Lastly, I'll give you a new one. What's the lowest points we could score in a game? I'm not sure where Brad's headed with that, but I think he was talking about with his original question, Andy, that Penn State's offense last year was perhaps better than we gave it credit for because they did average over 30 points a game. The problem is when you needed it against Michigan and Ohio State, it wasn't there.
So the three toughest games are West Virginia on the road, Ohio State at home, USC on the road. Those are my three. I'm going to give you three. I think Penn State, I'm going to give you the point total. I think for Penn State, it's 31 plus points. Minimum, the seller will be for them on these will be 31 points. I know Penn State's defense is going to be good, but I think 31 points or more feels like the right number for me. It might take more than that against Ohio State and USC. And we know that USC will struggle on defense, but they might have some additional pop on offense. I'm going those three games and I'm going 31 or more points is what Penn State needs to score or average over those three games to be successful. And by successful, I'd say you win two of them. They need to average 31 or more points at least.
They probably do. And one thing I want to point out to Brad is last year's average, and I'll use, you know, Iowa game as an example. Penn State's defense just kept getting three and outs, giving the offense so many opportunities. Penn State would score 30 points in a game, not because the offense was so good, but because their defense was so good, Andy. All right, let's get to Matt in Massachusetts. It's also worded a little funny, but I think I can figure out what he means. He says, Jim and Andy, I need some clarification on the team NIL can provide, but is it supposed to be the best? That said, what would happen if the best team money can buy doesn't deliver, meaning a national championship? There's a lot of money being thrown around these days. Let me explain what I think he's getting at is essentially – you know, Penn State fans are complaining, you know, that and Penn State people are complaining they're not getting enough NIL money. They need that to compete. And his question is, well, do you really? Does the most money mean you're going to win?
Right. The most money I think we're going to find out this year, to be honest with you. I think Ohio State, in terms of NIL, all in, you know, the number somewhere $13, $15 million all in total. For roster retention and transfer portal. And by roster retention, I mean giving enough NIL money to guys who potentially could have, should have, and would have gone to the NFL to stay and play college football at Ohio State for another year. And through the transfer portal, aka the quarterback position in Kansas State, among others, right? Between the two of them, they have gone completely all in for this year. So you're going to find out, I think, in a first look. This is a first look. I'm not saying this is the Hakuna Matata. This will be the template for the future. I'm just saying in the wild, wild west, it is NIL. A good first look, in my opinion, comes from Ohio State in the 2024 season. I think you're going to find out. Can you spend the best and the most money and use that as one of your spokes in the wheel or a vehicle to be – you know, a national title contender or winner? I think Ohio State's the blueprint.
They are, but you starting with Ohio State as one of those elite teams. Okay. Prior to NIL, correct, they were one of those teams that was bringing in more talent than anybody else, them, Alabama, and Georgia, every year through recruiting. This is the year they go over the top. I think it presents them with, especially now with the expanded playoffs, it's that win a national championship where you're a disappointment. The problem is that puts a lot of heat, you know, and you now got to win multiple playoff games. You got to win at least three. That's even if you get the bye. I'm not sure Okay, let me put it to you this way, Andy. How would you bet for the national championship? Would you bet on Ohio State or would you bet on the field?
Oh, I would take the field every day and twice on Sunday. Ohio State has won more games in the college football playoff era than anybody without, you know, a national championship to show for it. That's history. And that's Ryan Day. They've been that team the last 3 or 4 years, Jimmy, that's elite. Just like you said. And they couldn't get past Michigan. They can't get over the hump. Does this get them over the hump? Because they already have the inherent talent advantage over practically everybody else in the country. So is this the kicker? It's a lot of pressure. You're right. We're going to learn a lot through Ohio State this year more than anybody.
All right. Let's go to Jason and Tyrone. Kind of a related question. Why is it that we seem to have more trouble with NIL than other comparable schools? How far are we behind? Will the new rules with schools allowed to compensate the $20 million going to help?
I don't know if the $20 million will help because I don't know. That's a trying to level the playing field, but you have to see what the playing field looks like to see if it's level. That one I don't know. Do I think Penn State has been behind? Do I feel they are as far behind as some others? I don't.
Let me take this one on a little bit, Andy. I think I have several thoughts on this. First of all, Penn State's not the only school where the fans think they're behind on NIL.
Right.
All but a handful think they're behind. So, you know, start with that. How far are we behind? I think a little bit Penn State had the issue of the, for so many years, you know, the success with honor, did things the fair way. A lot of schools did. That money went to players under the table. Now, you just put your hand over the table instead of under the table to hand the players the money. So that, you know, they were more geared for this than Penn State was. The question of how far behind, I don't know. They still seem to bring in some pretty good players. And will the new rules help? I think they will, because there have been this NIL did not turn out the way everyone thought it would. It's not like outside organizations paying. It turned into pay for play. And not just at Penn State, but at Penn State and other schools, there became this, wait a minute. We're already ones footing the bill. Paying the tickets, the parking, the donations to the university. We're giving you all that money. You've got $1 billion TV contract, so you're asking us for more money. So anyway, Andy, that is it for quarter number three. We'll get back to our discussion of the conferences and the new teams and all of that when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others, local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. We had a nice Ask Andy segment. We were scolded a bit by our listeners, Andy, but...
A bit? We took some heat.
That's okay. We can handle it. Yeah. Hey, we know how to handle the kitchen. Give us a little heat. We're still okay, Andy. All right, let's get back to our discussion about the premise being that it seems to be forgotten by a lot of people that forget NIL, forget transfer portal. We've got major changes to the college football actually on the field with this whole adjustment to the conferences. You brought up the great point. It's no longer a Power Five. It's a Power Four.
Right.
You know, the Pac-12 has gone away. And within the Power Four, there's definitely a two and two kind of situation. Now, we talked about the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference and where they sit. They both, Andy, added talent. Oklahoma, Texas, USC, Oregon, Washington to the Big Ten. That's a lot of good teams. We're going to have a better regular season, more good games, and we're going to have better conference championship games because of this. Now, I did want to get into the other two conferences, the ACC and the Big 12, trying to hold on to be relevant, Andy. I still think those conferences can be interesting. I'm curious as to your take on those two conferences. Which one intrigues you more? Who are you more interested in watching, the new ACC or the new Big 12?
I think I'm more interested in watching the new Big 12 because it's a little bit of a monster mash mix. It's a little bit of Pac-12. It's a little bit of, you know, a couple other conferences. It is a very little bit of the what we knew as the Big 12 last year still exists. I think it's an eclectic conference is the way I'll put it. And it's not full of what we think of as the football hammers. So in the bigger picture, I want to see how this plays out. If it really is a Power Two, right? If it is really about the SEC and the Big Ten, can the Big 12 or possibly even, you know, the ACC with just, you know, they're sort of stuck in a corner. But can one of those two conferences permeate the college football playoffs at a level other than exactly what you expect them to be at? That is a more interesting, and I think it's, I really think it's the wild card is the Big 12 for me. If the ACC has Clemson, for example, is a relative in the conversation and Florida State makes it. Well, that's exactly what you expect, right? Like, that's not going to be much different. Is the Big 12 capable of anything different? And that's why I'm more interested to watch them.
I think, Andy, the Big 12 is interesting to try to figure out how the jumble will work out.
Right.
The problem is they just don't have the marquee names. We talked about, you know, like USC being a marquee name, even if the program isn't where it needs to be or wants to be right now. You look at the Big 12, and I don't know the teams very well. I looked up somebody's prediction for this coming season for the conference standings, who was going to win it. Here are their top four teams based on this one person's predictions, for what it's worth. Kansas State first, Oklahoma State second, Utah third, Kansas fourth, UCF fifth.
No West Virginia, huh?
West Virginia sixth. Right. But you look at those teams, does Kansas State or Oklahoma State excite you? And now you're a college football guy.
I'm a
so
junkie.
Maybe the answer is yes, but no.
Kansas State lost their best player to Ohio State. That was their quarterback. Yeah, I think the Big 12 is what I would like to call they're a Yahtzee cup, right? You put your five dice in and roll them, and you could put five teams in the top five. You put them in again, roll them. You could put different teams and put them in different order in the top five. They're bunched. Can anybody separate and become elite? We know there are elite teams in the SEC and the Big Ten. We're not sure if there's any elite teams in the Big 12. That's why I think they're the most interesting. Are they going to look as vanilla? Are they going to be a team that says, well, they're just going to get their champion and that's it because they're just not very good? That's the potential of the Big 12 as well, Jimmy. There is the other side of the coin of them just being exactly what you thought they were, and one team's going to get in by cause, and that's it. There is no other conversation regarding them.
Yeah, none of those teams really excite me or that I look at as a team that's going to run away with the conference. I get the feeling they're going to beat each other up, and whoever just wins the tiebreaker, you know, you'll have two teams playing in the conference championship game. Now, as opposed to the ACC, now they didn't. Their additions were Cal, Stanford, and SMU, okay?
Right, not so, much marquee there.
No, not much marquee at all. And SMU might be the best of the three.
Football-wise, you're correct.
But you still have a name brand in Florida State, Miami, and Clemson. But here's something that I'll point out to you, that those teams at the top, they have some out-of-conference games. Clemson plays Georgia.
Yeah, hello.
Florida State plays Notre Dame. Those are games that could put them on the map if they win. Now, if they lose, you might end up just saying, well, at the end of it, the winner goes to the playoffs, and that's it, Andy.
Hey, if you want to talk about out-of-conference games, Jimmy, we've already talked about the Big Ten and the SEC. Let's look at USC. They play LSU and Notre Dame.
Yes.
USC's, you know, that's no joke, right? Like, that's a top feeder. So I think there's other they have those out-of-conference games. I just think the ACC is like they're the paint-by-numbers conference for me, right? Like, you're hearing rumblings about NC State's going to have a quality football team this year, right? And when Dave Doran has quality players, he produces a quality product in the football field. Is it good enough to permeate that top 15 and be relative in the conversation in the top 12? That I don't know. You've got others ahead of you.
They play Tennessee out of conference, Andy.
Right. One game, right?
So, I know. But if they were to win that game, I know that's a huge if.
That's an if.
But that's what looking at ACC, they've got to win, you know, either Florida State beating Notre Dame or Clemson beating Georgia or NC State beating Tennessee. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't.
So, Jimmy, look at the difference between the conferences and just in our conversation we're talking about. We talked about the Big Ten and the SEC in detail, and we talked nothing about their potential non-conference game landmines, right? Well, all we're talking about in the ACC is non-conference games because they got to prove themselves.
Yes,
that's
yes,
the
they
difference.
Do.
That's the difference right there.
Although there is a huge Big Ten Southeast Conference game. Texas plays Michigan.
Right. I think USC-LSU is a huge SEC Big Ten non-conference game.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it's LSU needs to win that game to kind of – that creates their tiebreaker at the end. When they have two losses along with several other teams, they could have that USC win, you know, that as a notch on their belt. But as I look at the ACC and the Big 12, Andy, right, I just see their whoever their conference winner is. And remember, if they're going to have each of them, their two best teams playing in their conference championship game.
Correct.
whoever was their number two team is going to get that additional loss.
Correct.
Which I think will most likely prohibit them from getting a second team in the playoffs.
Jimmy, this is going to come down to the all of this that we're talking about, right? This is the first year where the College Football Playoff Committee, and I think, you know, we talked about this the other day, it's going to be about the two lost teams, right? How far are they going to go and how much relevance? This College Football Playoff Committee is going to have some serious work to do in those weeks when they put out the College Football Playoff rankings. They're going to have to make – it's just not going to be as cut and dried and as you would like to say, as simple as it was in the past. This is going to be very complex, and it's going to be very deep, and it's going to – is that imbalance of power between those four conferences, between the SEC and the Big Ten, and then the ACC and the Big 12, is that gap going to show up in the College Football Playoffs? That is what the College Football Playoff Committee is going to have to tackle, Jimmy. It's going to be some seriously hard work.
I agree. This is the first year that they will have work to do, Andy.
Amen.
I've said it over and over again. I could have done, for the last 10 years, give me 5 minutes and I'll give you the four playoff teams. Correct. I mean, that it was that easy. Now, and it's not going to be as simple, Andy, as saying, oh, this is a two-loss Big Ten team versus a two-loss ACC team.
Nope.
There's a huge difference. Again, Ohio State plays Oregon, Michigan, Penn State. Ohio State could, if they finish 10-2, that's a very good 10-2. We mentioned Iowa earlier, only having to play one of the big teams. They play Ohio State. Could they go through the rest of their games with just one loss? Could Iowa come out of this a two-loss team? Iowa as a two-loss team, Andy, is very different than another Big Ten team having two losses.
Correct. It wasn't who you beat or who you lost. It was based on a number. Could this be a scenario just like we have talked? Is it? Yeah. Ohio State has a tough schedule. Are they 10-2? Say they are. Is it 10-2 Ohio State or is it 10-2 NC State? Right. Like, look at that. What are they going to do?
That would be 10-2 Ohio State. But if it's 10-2 NC State and 10-2 Iowa,
who are they going to
who is it?
Yeah, they're going to have it. Since 2016, they've made it cut and dry the Penn State year. It's not going to be that simple for them this year, Jimmy. The conferences have made it harder.
There is no doubt about that, Andy. All right, very good. The one thing I will conclude with, there'll be more good games during the regular season, more good matchups.
Amen.
That is it for our show. Thanks for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.